Let's turn to Romans chapter 8. We are still doing great by grace. It says, therefore, there is now no what?
Condemnation.
So this is what I want to tell you. Our faith is in God. It is not in natural things. It is not in politicians. I'm going to tell you something, and I've just named two politicians in our own, you know, one, our president, President Trump. Our faith is not in him. He represents at this time the Republican Party. And then our faith is also not in Tammy Baldwin, who represents the Democrat Party. Our faith is not in any of them to be our savior. I do believe God will use them. And, you know, I do believe we need to be involved. I vote. I get and I make a decision based on where they stand. And the person who believes closest to me, I don't care if they have a fish on their whatever, if the bumper sticker or whatever. I don't care if they, you know, they're born again, praying in tongues. That's a plus. But or whether they're, you know, whatever. Whoever believes the close like I do, that's who I'm voting. That's who I'm putting in there. I have a choice to make, and I look at both of them. Well, they're you know, they're both evil. They're both evil. Hey, well, let me tell you something. If an evil person gets in, God can still use evil people. I serve a God that can shake heaven and hell. I serve a God that moves mountains. I serve a God that shows up in bedrooms and gives them dreams and visions, who brings people to speak to the ear, who knows how to talk to them in the right way to get them to do what God wants them to do. And what if they turn their back on God completely and that they go against Christianity? The spirit of the Antichrist has been here the moment Jesus died on the cross. It's been here. It lives. But my God will prosper me. My God will prosper the church. My God will prosper his kingdom even under evil rule. Yes, right. If I have to buy and sell stuff underground to live, he will make a way where there was no way. He doesn't live inside a capitalist system. We know he doesn't live inside a socialist system. He lives in his system. And my job is not to hook myself up with a party. I belong to one. None your business. But I belong to a party. And I support the party. And I give my voice to the party. Sometimes they listen to me. Sometimes they believe I'm the crazy preacher. Let them figure out which one is true. None of my business. But I get involved. I want to see God's hand move in politics. I'm not abandoning politics just because there's some evil stuff going on. I'm not abandoning America because of some of our history that doesn't line up with his word. I'm going to be involved in the greatest nation on the face of the earth. I'm going to be involved in the politics. I'm going to be there and do what God has called me to do. And if they turn against me, who gives a rip? My God is bigger than them. My God is bigger than them. So there's no condemnation. No condemnation. No condemnation if you can't afford all the $100 oils. No condemnation if you can't afford those little pills with whatever names on them who can kill you severely. No condemnation. Where we are, we believe God and we do what we know to do. It may be pink drinks. It may be, you know, all this stuff. And if you could do it, do it. But if you can't, then believe God. And if you can, do it and still believe God. Believe God that none of the side effects are going to hit you. Look at all any of those medical commercials. Yeah, taking something for a headache actually causes migraines. One of the side effects, migraines, diarrhea. So now you got to deal with two things. Diarrhea, vomiting, and a headache. Depression, all this stuff. So believe God. You got to believe God with whatever you're putting in your body. You have to believe God. Put our faith in him and be led by his spirit. Because sometimes God will tell you not to take something. But you got to listen and you have to obey. God, you know, I've said this before. There was a pastor who came. And then don't get so where God has led you to do something and it's working for you that then you believe everybody's got to do it. Now, it may be very helpful. It may be helpful. Like one minister told me, Tim, you got to stop drinking coffee. God spoke to my heart, told me to stop drinking coffee. Ever since I've been off of it for a month, my goodness, my life is so much better. I feel better. I'm doing better. Everything's better. I just looked at him and said, get thee behind me, Satan. For it, thank you for the coffee lovers. For it is written, I shall follow the Lord my God and only serve him. He's the only one I serve. Not your false non-coffee God. That is not who I'm serving. But for them, their body's different. It may be perfectly fine for them to stay off of coffee. They may need to stop it. And can I tell you something? There have been times, there was one time that I was up to about 7 or 8 cups a day, and I just felt you need to back off. And I did. And then I got back on it. I'm not back up to my level, but you know, let the Lord lead you. Let him lead you in all that you do. All that you do. So again, no condemnation. To them which are in Christ. Ho, 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 ho. Did you just see that? Where's my scripture? Throw that back up there for me. Make me so happy. Make me so happy. 1 and 8. Is that where I am? Oh, nope, no condemnation. Yep, that's where I am. No condemnation to them that are in Christ. Do you know that in the world there may be a whole lot of condemnation? There's a whole lot of shame in the world. People go to jail all the time for the mess they do. Martha Stewart had to go to jail because she did insider trading. What condemnation and shame. Then this was funny. I don't know if you ever kept up with the news. It's not ha-ha funny. But she went to pretend prison. It wasn't real prison. It's where celebrities and rich people go to prison. There's no bars. There's no even ankle bracelet. She just had to go to a spa, and they didn't allow her. They didn't allow her to cook. She wasn't allowed. She volunteered to help in the kitchen and they wouldn't let her do it because they thought it would be too much fun for her. And they wouldn't give her spices for the food. She actually got busted with time in her, she used her bra to smuggle it into the kitchen to cook. No, not the kitchen, but where they ate. To put it on her food because she wanted flavor. That is shameful. Martha, stuff we don't talk about. Martha Stewart smuggling time in prison in her bra. That is shameful. There is some condemnation. In the world, there is condemnation. But in Christ Jesus, there is no longer any condemnation. God has saved you from your sin, past, present, and future. God has changed your action, changed your thinking, got you to a place where you don't think like you used to think. Like we read this morning, you used to steal and think it was all right because you were sticking it to the man who stuck it to you. But all of a sudden, you let the man have what the man has because we ain't after his stuff. We let God bring blessing to us. And if we have to go fishing to find money in the mouth of a fish to pay taxes, God will move heaven and earth to bring blessing onto his people. God will use the natural. He will put a super on a bird. He's done it in the past. He'll put a super on a fish. He's done it in the past. Quail will fall from heaven. Whatever needs to happen, God will make it happen. He will put his super on the natural and it will be a mighty force for the Lord. Oh! God will move on your behalf. There is no condemnation. You're free. You don't walk after the flesh, but you'll walk after the Spirit. Got to tell you something. People always, if I could just get free from sin, get free from sin. If I could get free from sin, you're already free from sin. Just get close to Jesus. The closer you get to the light, more of the darkness falls off of you. Stop worrying about the sin. Do what you know to do. Don't put yourself in stupid positions. Sometimes we put ourselves in stupid positions because we know what's going to happen anyway, and we kind of do want it to happen. So we put ourselves in there. Lord, don't let this happen. Oh, I did it again. No. You were in the wrong spot again. The Lord's already moved on you several times. Don't go to that place anymore. Don't hang. But I'm trying to be a witness. I'm trying to be. No. You're trying to put yourself in a position. Start getting closer to God. And focus on him. There's a principle that what you focus on, you draw to, and you begin to recognize it and see it everywhere. Don't believe it. If you ever bought a new car that you never owned before, all of a sudden you see them everywhere. You never saw one of them. And then all of a sudden you buy one everywhere. Did everybody just go to the same place I did after I got one? Now you notice everybody has them. Can I tell you something else? When you begin to follow the Lord, you draw those people to you as well. It's amazing. I've heard this problem. I knew someone, no one who ever went to our church, okay? I just want to be clear because I don't want you looking around being like, who was it? Who was it? It was Roseanne. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I already said it wasn't no one in here. It wasn't no one in here. But I remember talking to somebody who was addicted to crack. And they said, Pastor, it was amazing. It was amazing. I could go to any party. If anybody was addicted to crack, we locked eyes. We locked eyes and we knew instantly. And we would be drawn to each other. And all of a sudden, we'd be talking about the drugs. And that's how the deals went down. Is I could, can I tell you something? It's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual thing. And you will draw people toward you that believe like you do, that will feed what you feed on. So if you're negative, you'll find every negative person in the building. They'll all say the same thing. You'll all be Debbie Downers together. You'll all be. And if you have a Debbie Downer and you have, can I tell you something? It's impossible to be a downer all the time knowing God, because God does not have a negative outview on the future. He has a positive outview on the future. It's called the rapture of the church. It's positive. God is going to come back in victory, riding on a white horse. Oh, so that answers, are there animals in heaven? You betcha. You betcha there's animals in heaven. God owns horses. He's going to come right down on a horse. Some of you may be riding a donkey. I don't know. Barely making it in. That's a joke. We can all laugh. I'm picturing some of you riding a donkey, kicking it. Come on, dragging him, trying to get him to go. But we're going to meet him in the air. He's going to melt this sucker down to nothing and then recreate it. God does not suffer from depression looking at the earth. He doesn't look at our politics. He doesn't look at where the world is today. He doesn't look at Venezuela and say, Jesus, I am so depressed right now. Look at my people. Only Tim and our church is doing what they're called to do. Well, if he was going to say it, it would be us. Oh, yes, it would be us. Why? I don't know everybody else, but I know you bunch of people, and you're going to do what you're called to do. I don't believe it's only going to be us, and I don't even believe it's going to just be non-denominational. I believe there'll be some Catholics, some Baptists, some Church of God, some Assembly of God, all the denomination, Pentecostal holiness, all of them, even though they don't shave their armpits or legs. They'll be hairy, but they're coming and they're doing what they're called to do. There's going to be people just like, let's talk about him, the prophet. God, they have dug down your altars. They have killed your prophets. The same man that called fire down from heaven, now hiding from the very person God delivered him from, now all of a sudden he's hiding from. And he's like, oh, they're going to kill me. They're going to kill me. Yeah, and then we read this story and be like, how could the great man of God? Well, if we look at our own life, I'm pretty sure we could pull out some same examples. Not as extreme as us dying, but, oh, don't you love me, Jesus? Why did I get in an accident? Oh, why did this happen? Why are my kids sick? Why did they throw up on my duvet that we just had dry cleaned? Oh, the devil is a liar. You wonder where that example came from. That was my house. Just had it dry cleaned the day before, and then they throw up on it. Well, that was money well spent. And so, you know, we get in this mentality where we're, Lord, what? Didn't? And then we even get, did I not hear you? Did I not hear? Did I not hear? Did I miss it? Well, what if you did miss it? There's no condemnation. Get over it and move on. Let it go and say, Father, if you need to repent, repent, and then move on. But there's no condemnation. We hear from the Lord. We're going to do what he called us to do. And, you know, I've shared this story. At Bible college, we were all going around the room, and they were telling people, if there was only one person left on the face of the earth that would do the will of God, who was it? And people said all kinds of people's names. Everybody from Billy Graham to T.D. Jakes to Rod Parsley to all, I mean, they just started dropping, you know, names everywhere. It would be that, I know it would be them. It would be, what's the guy that throws his jacket and blows on people? Benny Hinn. You know, if Benny Hinn would be the last one, he would be the one. He would be the one. And people just went through all these names, and they finally got to me. And I made some people a little upset with me. They're like, Tim, who would it be? I'd be like, it would be me. And they're like, how dare you speak against the people of God? I'm like, I ain't speaking against none of them, but I can't control what they do. I can only control what I do. And I will die with my last breath serving the Lord. I am going to just leave here and get there. So if it was the last one, I would be it. Sorry, suckers. You control your own destiny, but I control mine. And as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Oh, where did I stop? Verse 3. Let's just start there. I don't know where I left off. Oh, I didn't even make it to verse 2 yet. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. Made me free. So what's the key to be free? Have a life in the Spirit. Live after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Yeah. You know, something you should know. Just you work out your own salvation with fear and trembling before the Lord. Get to know God. Have a relationship with Him. Get to hear His voice. Exercise that. Do what you're called to do. I'm just waiting for a calling. Well, I can tell you some of them. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's one. Go to the highways and the byways and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Talking about Jesus. Talking about the gospel. That's another one. Have you even done those two yet? Well, if you haven't, then why in the world do you think you're going to get anything else? Let's start with what we read. Let's start with what we know. So begin to walk a life in Christ, free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, the law couldn't do it. Got to tell you something, the law right now can't do it. And I ain't talking about your religion. I'm talking about natural law. Natural law right now. We say no murder. There's still people who get murdered. We say certain things not to do. Speeding. We say no speeding. None. No condemnation. No condemnation. But no condemnation. None. 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 Hallelujah. And so there are a lot of laws. And it's not for those who don't break laws. It's for those who do. There will never be enough law. We need more laws. We need more laws. We need more laws. And we may need more rules at certain times and certain places. But can I tell you something? You are never going to outlaw evil. Evil will find a way. Evil will be evil. But the church will be the church. The light will be the light. Amen. And so, do you know what the answer is for mass shooting? It's not more laws. We have a lot of them. It's the heart of the people changing. It's a revival that needs to sweep this nation. It is the church that needs to stand up and be the church. I believe a lot of mass shootings have been diverted simply because the church has prayed. And I believe we could divert more if the church would continue to be the church and do our job. Y'all are getting better. I love y'all. For what the war, let's just look. Why couldn't the law do it? Because the flesh is weak. Those who don't know Christ is weak. Well, you know, the Bible tells me not to put any confidence in myself. Your flesh is weak. But where you are weak, Christ is strong. It's not your own ability. It's Christ that lives in you. Oh, this is good stuff. We could just stay here all day. We're not, but we could. For they that go after the flesh, they mind the flesh. But they that are after spirit, things of the spirit. For the carnal mind is death. There's many people who had death to their family, death to their dreams, death to their vision, death to their freedom, because they were not led by the spirit and they were led by the flesh. There are good people in prison today. Wonderful, sweet, loving people that are in prison today because of road rage. They acted out in a manner that they never would normally. They acted out. They got in a heated conversation. They got in a fight. They did something they wasn't supposed to do. And in a normal day, they would never act that way. But they gave into the flesh. And they were not after the Spirit. The Spirit will leave you out of problems. The Spirit will lead you to say the right things. The Spirit will lead you to not even show up to a place or to actually show up at a different place. The Spirit, if we're after the Spirit, He will lead God and direct us into all things. We acknowledge Him in all we do. We say, hey, Lord, I heard this morning. I loved it. Someone said that lived far off, Lord, am I supposed to go to church today? Because of the icy conditions, right? On a normal day, the answer is always, uh-huh. Yeppers, if you're from Wisconsin, yeppers. Yepper depper, sure enough. Come on, dear buddy. That's Wisconsin. Minnesota, okay. We're all right up here in the Rust Belt line. Come on, y'all. Now, in the South, he may say, yes, sirree, Bob. Put on your boots, your big boy pants, and get on your truck and drive. That may be what the Lord says. But again, he may say the ice, you know, the roads are icy. Sometimes I've heard this where people have been directed to wait 10, 15 minutes. And they're like, well, I'm going to be late, but I really feel I need to do this. They did it, and they found out later. Sometimes, I know a pastor that the Lord spoke to and said, get off a train. And he got off of a train. Now, to this day, he has no idea why. No idea why. But he was faithful to follow. And sometimes we do stuff like that, and we go, Lord, Lord, what was it? What? You may never know. But obey. What if I miss it? You probably will. You probably will. But, you know, y'all are not baseball people. Y'all are hockey people, right? No? Okay, so we'll do baseball. You never hit what you don't swing at. What's his name? What's the hockey player? You never make a goal that you didn't swing at the puck. What is that? Gretzky. Thank you. Gretzky. You're never going to make the goal that you never shoot for. And so I'm, you know, not a huge hockey person, baseball more than hockey. And so if you're going to swing, swing, swing. What if I miss it? What if you make it? What if I make God look like a fool? Hey, he's big enough. Even if you miss it, he can turn it around. Have more faith in his ability to turn things around than your ability to fail. That's right. Be like, what if I look stupid? What if you look stupid? Who gives a rip? Swing. Hit it. Knock it out of the park. Do what God has called you to do. What if people turn me down? What if people mock me, make fun of me? Turn the other cheek. That's what turning the other cheek is. Don't get out of it and be like, turning the other cheek. I'm never going to fight. I'm going to be so peaceful. That's not what it's talking about. It's when you are mocked in the name of Christ. It's not like somebody coming into your home trying to rob you. That's not what it's talking about. You miss the whole message. It's persecution coming because of what you believe. When persecution comes because what you believe, take it. Because that's what we believe. Don't bow to pressure and change. And backtrack on what you believe. Stand on what you believe.
That's right.
I'm talking to some good people this morning. And so the Spirit of the Lord will lead and guide you and direct you. Follow the Spirit. Follow Him. And He will direct your path this morning. He will make you great by grace. He will set you free. Oh my goodness, set you free from the cares of what other people think. See, when you care too much about what other people think, no, I'm not saying coming to church tomorrow, you know, next Sunday and sweats and your hair all messed up and all that. I mean, you can, don't get me wrong, it's fine, come on. But you know, be like, I don't care what people think, I'm spiritual. No, okay, whatever, all right. That's not what I'm talking about. I'll tell you a story. I hope this helps you a little bit. I remember when I got in my 30s, you know, probably 33, somewhere up in there, same time Jesus died on the cross. Blessed be his name. And so Jesus, 33 years old, and somebody just turned 30. Somebody just turned 30 and was talking to me. Pastor, I sure do hate the 30s. Oh my goodness, my knees are popping. My back hurts. All this stuff is going wrong with me. Pastor, don't you hate the 30s too? I'm like, no, I love the 30s. I love my, I'm 38. Yeah. I'm 38. February 21st, turn 38. Love my 30s. Can I tell you one of the reasons I love my 30s? Because I care less about what other people think than I ever have in my life. In my 20s, I actually tried to dress to impress other people. Now, I dress because what I want to wear and what I think looks good and what my wife tells me looks good. That's not, she's right. It's not always true. But there are times that I have got ready for church and she looked at me and said, are you wearing that? And I'm like, no, I just put it on to show you how ridiculous it looked. Now I'm going back and change to what I really was going to wear to church. And so I do care what she thinks. I'll tell you a little secret, and she knows it because she calls me on it. She calls me on it. I still suck my stomach in when she comes into the room. If I'm sitting with it out, she comes in. Bow up, arms go to, you look bigger. Chest looks bigger when you hold your, I try to impress her. And she looks at me and goes, you could let it out. I'm like, no, not while you're here. Not while you're looking at me. I'll have an aneurysm before I let this go. Oh, goodness, that's funny stuff. But I care what she thinks. I don't care what everybody else thinks. Could care less. Couldn't care less. But in my 30s, I let go of a lot of things that I held on to in my 20s. And I believe as we get in Christ, we'll become in our own. and we won't care what other people think about us as much. I still care about what you think. I ain't going to purposely tick you off or purposely do something because you think I should, you know, I have this attitude. They think I should look like this, so I'm going to go the very opposite. They think I should, you know, whatever, so I'm going to get big old holes in my ears and I'm just going to rebel and, you know, e-cigarettes and all this kind of stuff. Is that vaping? I'm sorry, vaping. Vaping. I don't know all my stuff. I'm just going to go to the other end of the spectrum. I'm not going to do that. I'm not a jerk. Because then, if the people who run the other side, they still care. They care so much about what somebody else thinks about them that they're going to do the very opposite because they still care. They still care. People who go the other end still care. But people who don't care are free to live as God has created them. Can I tell you something? We all have something on the inside of us that we like that other people may not like, or maybe only few people do, but it's because we have a piece of God on the inside of us. Look at God and all his creation. He's spectacular. He has many, many likes. God could have made everything black and white. There could be no colors in the earth. There could be one type of fish, probably cod, because it tastes like nothing else. You know, it's just very bland. Everything could be bland. Everything could taste like chicken. Everything could just taste like chicken. Everything. But God created every taste. He created bitter things, sweet things. And some people love bitter. Some of you love bitter chocolate. Some of you love sweet chocolate. Some of you love milk chocolate. But these are all, God put all this stuff in the earth for us to enjoy. He gave us all this color. I mean, look at every sunset on the face of the earth. How amazing. I was looking at it yesterday or the day before. I think it was yesterday. Oh, no, it was 2 days ago. And there, you know, your winters have a different color than your springs and your summer. And then the blue, as the sun was setting, there was this real gray blue, and then there was this like teal blue, and then there was this bright blue, and then it kept on changing. And I'm like, these colors right here, you only really see this combination in the sky during this time of the year. How beautiful. And there's people who absolutely hate everything nature. And then you got all these big cities, and you love it. You love the sounds. You love all that. And then God's got all these stars in the sky to look at. Billions and billions of places and planets and stars everywhere. And it's amazing. It is amazing. God has given us so many things to enjoy. And so you'll find your own. You'll begin to find the things you enjoy. And it's not based on what everybody thinks about a sport or a fad. You're able just to be you. You're able to enjoy the things that you enjoy, not based on what everybody else thinks about it, but because of what actually brings you joy. There is a freedom, a happiness in Christ that you'll find nowhere else. Because if you're running after happiness in the eyes of other people, you'll always run. You'll always be running. You'll always be doing. You'll never reach the end. And if you're looking for happiness in things, you're going to never find it because you're going to have to keep buying things to make you happy if that's where you try to get joy from. But when you get your joy from God, when you're set free in Him, everywhere is God. He is with you always. Acknowledge Him. Acknowledge Him. I acknowledge you in this day. I acknowledge you in the sunset. I acknowledge you in the snow. I acknowledge you, your beauty in all this earth. You're everywhere, Lord. Driving in my car, I acknowledge that you're here. Oh God, that idea, I acknowledge that was from you. God, I acknowledge that you lead and guide me in all things. Acknowledge the Lord and he will direct your path. Ah. Look at your neighbor and say, God has set me free. And those, now let me say this too. I want to clarify, don't go home today. Children, parents, spouses, I don't care what you think. God has set me free. Children, don't try that when you go home. Don't try that at all. You will have a divine correction of what it means to die to self. And we serve. Can I tell you something? One thing that brings me joy, you're called to serve people. You're called. We have ushers in here who are called. We have people on the sound booth that are called. We have people in the nursery that are called. We have people serving in every area of ministry that are called to serve. And when you are stepping into that, it brings joy not only to you, but it brings joy to those who you do serve. And one of the greatest things for me is I always want to please my kids. Don't always get to because they make stupid decisions sometimes. And I always want to please Jesse. Don't get to because I make stupid decisions sometimes. You notice how I turn that on me? That'll make a happy life. Happy life. Always take the blame. Anyway, let's move forward. But in all of this, our life is to serve. The moment it comes just about us is the moment we get out of the will of God and just acknowledge ourselves. It is about the Lord. And so many of us, we're going to have to step out and do new things. Some of us are going to have to be life group leaders because that's what God has called you to do. Some of you may just need to try things. And it's not forever. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it ain't. But serve others. One last story. I'm done. Are you ready? This is it. I'm done. I didn't say that. This is my first time. I'm actually telling the truth. This is my first time. I remember at Bible school, and we were singing a song. We were having chapel. We were having chapel. I didn't grow up Catholic. We didn't call it chapel. We just called it church. And so we were having chapel. We were praising the Lord. And I just remember having a conversation with the Lord. I said, God, I want to see your face. I want to see you like Moses saw you. I want to see your glory. And I've seen the glory of God. I saw the glory of God in here. Anybody else saw the glory of God in here when we were singing and praising? Okay, thank you. I took my glasses off because I thought they were dirty. And then it was still there. I'm like, oh, that's the glory. But anyway, I'm here like, I want to see your face, Lord. I want to see your face. And then on the inside of me, I just heard instantly, open your eyes. I'm like, I'm like freaked out for a second on the inside. I'm like, I'm going to see the face of God. And I opened my eyes and I didn't see his face. And I thought, that's kind of a letdown. Lord, I was expecting to like see you standing there in front of me. I wanted to see your face. And then I just heard on the inside, look around. And I started looking around. I'm like, I still don't see your face. Where are you, Lord? And he said, if you want to see me, I'm in all of my people. This is my face. These are my hands. These are my legs. This is body of my body, blood of my blood. You want to see me? You want to serve me? This is how you do it. You serve them. When you have seen their face, you have seen mine. And I'm like, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. And we do this a lot of Sundays, and I hope it never gets old to you. I hope it's never just something we do. I hope you participate in this. But right where you are, ask the Lord, what are you trying to show me? Out of this message, what was I supposed to get? Lord, what are you speaking to my heart this morning? I thank you, Father. I thank you for speaking to your people. I am so excited about that. Change us, Lord. Let us see where we need to change. Let us grow closer to you. God, don't let us stay the same. Let us change more into the image of your Son than ever before. Let us operate more in the gifts than we ever have. Move us, Father.